Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so with time change this morning, we consider the cycles of life, right? I mean, this is one of the cycles. In the spring, and I'm going to say this correctly, in the spring, we spring forward, right? And then we come to the fall, and in the fall, we fall back. Some of us would rather just keep falling back and avoid springing forward. I think whoever decided that springing forward did not have three children to try to get out of the house at 7:15 in the morning on a Sunday morning. They did not want to wake up this morning. But anyway, so it reminds us of that cycle that we go back and forth in this daylight savings. It's the cycle that goes with the seasons, right? I mean, we had winter, and now we're moving into spring, and then we're going to have summer, and we're going to go through fall. And then back to winter. I told you, spring forward messes with my mind. But anyway, so we've got those season cycles that go on. It's something we can't stop, right? I mean, the hours are going to turn into days, and the days are going to turn into weeks. The weeks are going to turn into months, and the months are going to turn into years. This is how we measure things. As I understand, when you retire, it gets harder to measure these things when you don't have a cycle that's in there of the days and the rhythms. Am I correct, retired folks? Yeah. I know when I was in school and you get to the school break and it's like, what day of the week is it? I didn't have to go to class. But now I work every day, so I know it now. But these cycles, they happen. This is part of us as human beings. The sun rises and the sun falls and it sets time for us. And everything comes in those cycles. Well, those cycles is what I want to get to begin with, as we take this microscopic look at the cross and all of the details that come around this. And this morning, if you didn't catch by the scripture or the title on the screen, today I want to get to the crown of thorns. What is this crown of thorns that was put on Jesus' head, and what does it symbolize for us? This, to me, being one of the most shameful aspects of the cross. All right, I realized that Jesus had to die. I realized that needed to happen to fulfill the plan. But did he really need to be mocked and stripped and put through this process of humiliating our God that has stepped onto this earth for us? But as we look at the cross, the first thing that we note is that the crown, this is a week that I need to write the sermon down. The crown of thorns is a circle, right? It's an endless circle. It has no beginning and no end, okay? And in these cycles, like I talked about, this is part of humanity. But as we look at this crown, we realize God is timeless, isn't he? God doesn't have a clock that he sets. God doesn't have to follow by days and hours and weeks and minutes. He doesn't have to follow the seasons because God is a timeless God. You want to know how God is a timeless God? Just spend any time waiting for God, waiting for an answer, waiting for a solution, waiting for God to answer, and you will realize God has no time that he keeps, okay? We look at the creation story, and we see 7 days of creation, and our brains automatically think 7 24-hour days, but we can't box God into our time frame. What is a day to God isn't necessarily a day to us because God is a God of infinites. He had no beginning. He has no end. He has no time. I mean, I guess it made it easier for him to have no time to make Noah wait on an ark for 40 days and what was most likely actually a year on that ark because he had to wait for everything to dry up enough to get back onto the land, okay? God's time shows as Jonah had to wait 3 days in the belly of a smelly fish. Time showed as Job had to wait for God to get through everything that he needed to get through before he could give him the double blessings and heal him in the end. God's time shows as humanity wept for 3 days while Jesus was gone until he came back on Easter morning. You see, God is not a God of time because he's not bound by a clock like us. But what do we see in the circle of this crown? We see that God stepped out of a timeless nature into a timed nature when he came down in the form of Christ. That he took on that clock. He took on that clock that says, you only have so long. You only have so many days and hours and years to be able to fulfill all that you came to fulfill. He got bound by that time, and it shows for us in what he did that God would be willing to step into that. But it gets more than that. It's not just about time. All right, so God has no time, and God became time. Okay, but then let's look at the second aspect of that crown. What we heard in the scripture this morning, what we heard in here, that it's not just a crown that they put on his head, but a twisted crown. Some scriptures say they bound the branches together. Not just one singular, but they bound multiple together and twisted it up. And I started to think about this idea of being bound and twisted, and immediately came into my head when I tried to walk both my dogs this week, okay? Those that have met my dogs might laugh at me in talking about trying to walk both my dogs. If you don't know, I've got 2 70-pound Siberian Huskies, okay? Not only are they large dogs, but they're very strong dogs, and they are bred in their DNA to pull things. And so my 2 70-pound dogs want to pull me. Well, I have walked both of them before, and I've been successful in this, but this was the first time I tried to walk both the dogs with all 3 kids, and one of them being Kylie, choosing she wanted to ride her bike. So Kylie took off on her bike down the street this way, and Maddie and Aiden start wandering this way, and the dogs go like this, okay? We're going to chase the kids in different directions, and all of a sudden, very quickly, I'm bound up in leashes and 140 pounds trying to go between my legs, and I was just trying to survive, and I hadn't even left the driveway yet, y'all. Let me tell you, I didn't leave the driveway. I got so bound up, and I threw my hands up with leashes in them and said, this is not going to work, and put one dog back in and let him bark while I walked him one at a time. But I got all bound up, and I thought, you know, this is a literal binding, but where do I figuratively get bound in life? What is it that gets us all caught up? And immediately I was able to think about traffic. We get absolutely bound up, right? Has anybody been hearing the commercial on there about 19 million people in the LA area and all 19 million are on the 405 freeway at the same time every day? I'm like, we absolutely get bound up in traffic, don't we? Anytime you get on the freeway, you get on the road. I mean, you try to go down Sepulveda anytime between 3 and 6 o'clock, and you're going to stop all the way along it, okay? We get bound up, and in it, we can get frustrated, and we can get stressed, and we can look at the clock, and I've got someplace I need to go, and the last thing I really want to do is just be sitting here stuck. But we get bound up. We get bound up when we sign contracts and we make promises. I mean, I thought it was a long contract when I was signing a mortgage and thinking about 30 years having to try to pay it off. And one day I suddenly realized, oh my goodness, I think that the lifetime contract that I signed was student loans. Has anybody actually paid off student loans? 1 out of 20 in first service said they paid them off. I said, how many people are still paying? And like half the hands went up. But we sign contracts, whether it's financial contracts or other types of agreements. We sign them, and then we're bound to them. And sometimes we no longer want to be bound to them, but we've made that pledge, and here we're kind of stuck. But we can also get bound up in our relationships. Recently, a situation came about, and news broke. And on the day that news broke, I had 4 different phone calls and conversations going on at once, okay? And that wouldn't be so bad, except every single one of them was in confidence of sharing information that then couldn't be shared with another conversation, and don't share it with this conversation, and other news coming, and everybody trying to fit pieces of this puzzle together, and here are all these pieces, and I very quickly realized how bound up I was, and it wasn't my life, it was somebody else's life. I was just bound up in all of these conversations and people trying to figure out what was going on and what was going to happen. And we can so easily get bound up in this. We can get bound up when it's the truth that's coming, or we can get bound up in the gossip that's coming. We can get bound up in how it affects us, or really bound up when it's our life that things are happening to and things are just kind of swirling and whirling. And here we are just stuck and entangled in all that's happening. Well, the pleasure of being God is God doesn't get bound. God is a God that is boundless. We see it in story after story that God is able to do whatever God wants to do because God is God. He is bound by nothing because he is the supreme being of all. But what do we see in the binding of the branches that make the cross is the realization that the boundless God chose to be bound in a human body and bound to a promise of death for us. God chose to be bound. He chose to be bound in the aches and pains of life. He chose to be bound in the disappointments that came with it. God chose to be bound by those who ruled his life in his arrest and his mockery and his nailing to the cross. Because God chose to be bound to a covenant for us, a covenant that says, I will step in and save you when you cannot save yourself. But it gets even more than that. It gets even deeper than that, because the third aspect we see in that crown is we see those thorns that pierced his brow. Have you spent time with any thorns? I mean, I grew up with a row of rose bushes at the end of the grass area in our backyard, okay? Praise the Lord, my parents didn't plant them. Otherwise, I would think that they were evil. But my brother and I, we spent a lot of time in the backyard, a lot of time playing. We weren't indoor types of people. And wouldn't you know, every time we were playing, the ball would go in the rose bushes, right? It was like, who was going to get stuck having to fetch the ball? Because we knew one truth in life, if you had to go to the rose bushes to get something out of them, you were going to get pricked, okay? That's the nature of thorns. They just kind of jump out and bite you, no matter how much you try to avoid them. This week, I think it's ironic that Claudia said she was looking at the palm bushes that are outside of the office, wondering if we could use some of those palm branches next week for Palm Sunday with the kids. And what did she tell me? But she went out to look at them, and she discovered they have thorns about this long on them. Yeah, I don't want to put those in the kids' hands, right? But how ironic that the palm branches would have thorns. Now, where do thorns come from? What's the big deal of thorns? Thorns is a great symbol of sin within the Bible. When Adam and Eve had that first sin, they took that first fall. What was part of the consequence to Adam is that he would not only have to till the earth, but it would be filled with thorns and thistles that would fight him. Those thorns and thistles being one of the first symbols of sin and the consequences of it. Throughout Proverbs and Psalms and throughout the Old Testament, thorns keep coming up as that symbol of sin. And then you get into the New Testament, and Jesus uses it in his illustrations too. When he talks about the seed that falls on the good ground versus the road versus the seed that's mixed in with the thorns and is suffocated within them. That seed that doesn't take good ground, that seed that's put inside of somebody that chooses sin instead of obedience. Jesus that talks about the good fruit comes from the good tree, but only thorns come from the bad trees. Thorns, the symbol of sin, digging into the brow of Jesus, digging in and causing God to bleed. He was one who was sinless. Even walking this earth, he walked the straight and narrow and did so without sin. Yet here he has the consequence of sin digging in to his brow. He chose to take the consequence of our sin. He chose to bleed because of what we had done. And we see it all in this crown. We see what God gave up to be here. He gave up timelessness. He gave up being boundaryless. He gave up being without the consequence of sin, to take it all for us. And so this morning, as we get ever so close to Easter, just one more weekend of Lent coming, and then we go into those final acts of Jesus, to think about the Last Supper, to think about the arrest, to think about Golgotha, to think about the cross, to think about that Holy Saturday without him. And this morning, before we get there, for us just to take a minute to think about what God gave up to be able to give everything for us and to be able to give him our thanks and praise within that. My friends, will you pray with me this morning? God, you know our humanity. You know our struggles with times and cycles and seasons. You know all of the ways that we are challenged by being bound up, either literally or figuratively. You know the ways that we feel the consequences of sin, the way that it comes back and bites us like the thorns in a rose bush. You know all of this because you lived all of this. You chose to take on this life that we have. And we remember in that crown of how that came to be, of what you gave up to be on this earth for us. And this morning we give you our thanks and praise from the bottom of our hearts for this. And we just pray that you will help us to understand fully what the acts of Jesus Christ for us were, what it was that he was willing to do, and how that impacts us each day. May we walk from this place not feeling bound to time, not feeling bound up by this earth, not feeling the consequences of our sin, but being able to find ourselves in your nature, not concerned about the time, not concerned with the boundaries, not concerned with the consequences of sin, but concentrating on the love and grace that you give us, that we remember through the gift of baptism, that we remember through the gift of communion, that we remember in the gift of this community that surrounds us in this journey of life. May we focus on these and keep our eyes and our hearts on you, remembering that you took the crown of thorns so that we could receive the crown of righteousness. For Lord, we praise you and thank you for all of these. And we pray this in your most holy name. Amen.